As promised, the owner of the Cleveland Browns, Mr. Randy Lerner. Mr. Lerner, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Everything okay at Berea?
Yes, sir. I believe so.
Yes. Any like inside information you want to give us before we get started here? Like any quarterbacks or any running backs being brought in to being interviewed that you could tell us about?
Nope. I got no inside information.
You know, Randy, wouldn't it be nice if we could bug Berea and we could hear everything that's going on with Shermer and Holmgren and everything as far as who the Browns are going to bring in? Wouldn't that be a nice little feature for the Triv show?
I do. I think it would help with transparency for sure, Trey.
All right, Randy, let's start this way. I've known your father for a long time, and of course, he's passed away, and you know, you've taken over the Cleveland Browns, and I've known you for now for quite a while. Time flies, huh?
It does. Yes, it does.
It's totally amazing, and I hear a lot of things said about Randy Lerner on other shows, and written about Randy Lerner, and this and that. And one of the things I hear, Randy, is that Randy really doesn't care. He's an absentee owner. Would you like to comment on that, Randy?
I suppose I should comment on that. I do care. Of course I care. I don't know that, you know, that the ways of showing that you care are that clear to me other than to provide and support and show up. I think that it sickens me when we lose games. It sickens me when we have a season like we've just had. But I guess that, to my mind, I also have to balance my responsibility to use some restraint emotionally and support the guys that I work with. And so I suppose if I don't get that balancing act quite right or the optics quite right, I might appear to not care or to be indifferent, but that'd be a shame because it's not how I feel.
Is there a lot of times behind closed doors where you do let that emotion out with the people that work for you there?
You mean in terms of like
frustration,
throwing the chair across the room, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People don't realize that you want this team to win probably worse than the fans want them to win, don't you?
I don't know that I'd say that. I would like to say that, but I wouldn't think that's appropriate to say. I think people are exhausted from losing in this town. I think as a Browns fan from birth, I'm exhausted too. I think people are irritated. They have every reason to be, you know, and it's on me. I think I would like to think we're moving this thing in the right direction.
As far as being an absentee owner, as people have commented on, you now live here. You've bought a place here. This is now where you reside, Cleveland, Ohio, right?
It is. It is, which has made the absentee trick harder, but nothing's impossible.
Randy, a lot of things. You brought in Mike Holmgren to run this organization, and everybody applauded. It said that's the guy to go get. When he was available, that was the guy to go get. I remember I told you that years ago, not Mike Holmgren specifically, but I said, you know, you got to bring in somebody with NFL experience. And you had the greatest comment back to me, Triv, they don't grow on trees. You have to wait till one is available. You remember saying that to me?
I do.
And now Mike Holmgren becomes available, and you bring him in, and that's everybody went, yay, way to go, okay? And now there's rumors out there that Mike Holmgren isn't showing up for work. He isn't doing everything that he's supposed to do, that he's not dedicated to his job, that he's stealing the Lerner money. Randy, would you comment on, is there any truth to that?
Yeah, no, there's absolutely no truth to that. There's nothing could be further from the truth. I think that, look, in this business, it's unforgiving. It can be, you know, people are going to voice their feelings and they're going to do it on an unfiltered basis. And I understand that comes with the territory. But I can say with total personal clarity that Mike Holmgren is as honorable and committed a football leader as I've been around, that I know he wants this team to do well. I know that he suffers the losses miserably. And the impressions that you outlined are just not accurate, and they're nowhere near my personal experience with Mike.
The frustration when you hear that stuff reported on, what level does that get to? I mean, do you and Mike sit down and talk about it? Do you laugh about it? Do you get frustrated? Do you get angry when it's reported on and it's not true?
Yeah, I'd say a little of everything you just said. I think that over time you got to let it go. You know, you got to know, you got to trust yourself and believe in the relationships you have. And I think that's overwhelmingly where I end up on this. But yeah, it's frustrating. And look, most of the people who say that or feel that way or air those feelings do so because they care about the Browns. You know, it's not people necessarily out to get anybody. It's people who are passionate about this team. And they see things or feel things or sense things, and they air them, you know. And I'd rather have that, you know, than indifference, you know. So
yeah. Randy, how many times can you give us some idea? I mean, not exactly, but I mean, do you meet with Mike on a weekly basis, a daily basis, a couple times a week? How does that all work between
you? A couple times a week. I'm with him. My office is next to him, so there's a lot of kind of wandering in and out, you know, unfinished sentences, bad jokes, you know, all that kind of thing. I think that it's not as, you know, kind of scheduled, you know, certainly as it was before I moved here.
Mm-hmm. And you're at Berea every day?
Pretty much, yeah, unless I'm on the road for work.
Yeah. And in fact, I hate to tell you this, but to get away from football for just a second here, you shouldn't leave me alone in your office. I saw those pictures of you with the Marines in Afghanistan.
Oh, God.
Laying there on the coffee table.
Right. Well,
I got to ask you, what were you doing in Afghanistan?
I was invited by Marine leadership that's there that are old family friends and guys certainly that I know personally to come and give some support to Marines that are there in various parts of Afghanistan. So it was a scheduled visit, and it was great. It was wonderful to get in front of these guys and try and, you know, talk and kind of share things that they maybe don't talk about all the time just because you're coming from the States, and let them know your impressions and your thoughts and give them some fresh, you know, just kind of fresh ideas. And I suppose more than anything, just express your gratitude, you know, face-to-face, shake their hand.
Did you bring them any Browns memorabilia, jerseys?
Yeah, I brought a ton of stuff. I brought boxes of stuff there.
Yeah. That's got to really feel good to do a little part with those Marines over there in Afghanistan.
It was.
Where
it
did
was.
You stay at when you were there?
They provide barracks for you. It's in Kabul up by the embassy. So they have a setup.
Did you feel safe?
Yeah.
Well, you were with the Marines.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know.
We're talking with the owner of the Cleveland Browns, Randy Lerner. And Randy, God forbid, okay, I don't know if you've given this any thought. I've really never asked you this question. But God forbid, let's say that Mike doesn't get it done. What do you do then?
Well, I don't think it's a Mike get it done equation. I think that you've got Tom Heckert in the building. You certainly have Coach Shermer in the building. And there's a lot of other guys. But I would like to think that what we're trying to do is spread the responsibilities across guys with varying degrees of experience, an awful lot of hunger and commitment for the Browns that's going to grow and become more intense over time. And I think Mike's role as a mentor is very, very important as well, you know, almost as much as his role as an architect.
So Mike is sort of putting the whole inner workings together, actually not only for now, but for the future. And if he does leave, everything will be in place and everything will fall right in place is what you're saying.
Well, in a perfect world, yeah. And I know it's not a perfect world, but I think ultimately that's what leadership's about.
Yeah. Randy, when you first took over the Cleveland Browns, did you think it would be as difficult as it's become? I mean, what were your expectations when you first took over the Cleveland Browns until today? I mean, that was like, what, 6 years ago now, right?
That was 2002. That was late fall of 2002.
Oh, my God, 10 years ago.
Yeah. What are my impressions? No, that's a good question. I don't know that I have a great answer for that. I think that my life at that time was more chaotic, certainly. And I had, my learning curve was different than it is now. I think that, I don't know. I don't know that I have a you know, great answer to that question.
Is it a situation now where you sometimes you say to yourself, you know what, this is pretty difficult. This is pretty hard, and it shouldn't be that hard, and everything should sort of fall into place with somebody like Mike Holmgren. And I think what I'm trying to ask you there is that we really need to give this organization and this administration some time, don't we?
Yeah, I think, I mean, yes, you do. I mean, this is not an industry, this is not a business where you're going to get time, and guys know that. I think you do. I get your point, and I also get the fact that you're trying to be sympathetic to what we're trying to do. I think that there's some basic things that have to get done that this organization is very focused on. The most fundamental is settle on a quarterback. Now, far be it from me, I'm not a talent evaluator, to say the least, or anything like one. But as a Browns fan, at some point, when you look around and you see Pittsburgh needing a quarterback and dealing with Cordell Stewart or dealing with Tommy Maddox or whatever, they made a move, they committed to the move, and they've succeeded with that move. And Baltimore and Kyle Bowler, and they didn't work out, and they tried, and they made a move, and they got Flacco. So, I mean, I think one of the things that is crucial right now to get, to take a significant step forward is to try, if you can, to get this quarterback situation settled.
Can that quarterback, from the owner's perspective, be Colt McCoy?
I suddenly lose the ability to speak when I'm asked that question.
Randy, a lot of people say that the soccer team takes up too much of your time. Would you like to comment on that?
No, I don't have any comment on that. It doesn't take up too much of my time at all.
It's funny that where people say, think that a lot of these owners that own other NFL teams only have one business. There, many owners of NFL teams have different interests, don't they?
Yeah, they do, and there's different ways to run a football team. And I think if you look around, you're going to see that. You've got families that have owned teams for many generations, and they have very legitimately trained family members to have, very real skills in this industry in a variety of areas. Certainly the Maras are an example of that, the Rooneys. I think you also have people who buy teams and hand them off to professional management. And then you've got guys who've not been in football and come into football and want to run the team themselves, and a lot of models in between all of those. So that's one of the things about the NFL is there really isn't a formula.
One of the formulas, though, usually is longevity with the front office. I think you would agree with that, right?
No question. And a coach, if you can. That continuity is going to tell you more about it. That continuity is, without question, the ultimate sign of strength within this business. No question.
And the longer a staff stays together, the stronger and the better it becomes. Yet, for some reason in this town, everybody wants to get rid of everybody every couple of years,
Yeah, and that goes back to, trying to balance that frustration and trying to be conscious of it, with also trying to get the results in the near term so guys start to get comfortable with who's in the building, because you're not going to get anywhere if you keep turning this thing over.
You know, Randy, when Butch Davis was hired, everybody applauded. When Phil Savage was hired, everybody said, what a genius. When Romeo Crennel was hired, everybody said, wow, all the Super Bowl rings, perfect, okay? When Mike Holmgren was hired, everybody said, that's the guy, okay? So, I mean, really, in the public eye and in the media, no one knocked any of your hirings. Does it get a little frustrating, though, once you get somebody, and I don't want to single out anybody, but some of those guys in the past, let's lump them all together, does it get a little frustrating as an owner to go, what the hell happened here? I mean, I thought this was the right guy. Everybody, the consultants, the media, the fans, myself, everybody said, hire this guy, and then the guy doesn't work out. I mean, does it, make you want to just, I don't know.
Yes, you don't have to answer the question. Yes, it makes me want to do all those things. My feeling is it's a privilege to be involved. I couldn't identify a single person that has had more breaks than I've had, that have been luckier than I've been, and has had the blessings that I've had. So I couldn't in good faith or with a straight face say anything about frustration about anything. On the other hand, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I think it comes with the territory. You try, and what I think more than anything you've got to do is be able to admit that things aren't going right, and you've got to be able to get back out there. And certainly you're going to live with the sense that you keep starting all over, and it's not a pleasant feeling. But I don't see any other way to try and establish the Browns or reestablish the Browns within the kind of memories and traditions that people in this town expect the Browns to be.
I don't want to sound corny here, Randy, but you know how much the Browns mean to a lot of people in Northeast Ohio, right?
I do.
They live and die with the Browns. Does that put a little extra pressure on you to get this thing going in the right direction? I mean, do you feel that pressure that, you know, knowing that there's so many people out there that live and die with this team every Sunday?
Yeah, I do. I feel that pressure. I wouldn't say that, you know, again, I get back to the same feeling that, you know, it's pressure, but it's a privilege. And we haven't been able to deliver. And we live with that in this building every day. And to a certain extent, that gives you strength because you're motivated to turn it around and get it right. And to a certain extent, it certainly wears you down. But, you know, I would like to think I got a lot left in the tank, so I'm ready to go.
Ask a question you may not want to answer, but like when things aren't going right, do you, behind closed doors, walk in the Mike's office, Mike Holmgren's office, and you and him have his, you know, do you, Mike, what the hell? I mean, is there screaming there? Is there yelling there? Is there questions? How does that all work?
I would say usually the scenario is that he's already in his office yelling. So, and there's usually, you know, things flying around the room, I should say. Actually, I probably shouldn't say that, so I apologize, Mike, for that. But look, I don't view it. I view my role and my approach has been to make very clear that there is a, you know, that there's a mandate in this building, you know, and that there is very real urgency about that mandate for all the reasons we've discussed. But I try and balance that with being respectful to a guy that I brought here who's got many decades of proven experience. And so I suppose, you know, probably not the greatest answer I've ever given, but that's the balancing act, I suppose.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I mean, is there a, Do you put pressure on this administration, this staff, this front office, with a sense of urgency? I mean, do you sure say, I mean, listen, we got to get this done, and we got to get it done quickly. And then a two-part question. I mean, then if it's not getting done to your satisfaction, what do you do? Do you pull the trigger? What do you do there?
I think it's early for that. I mean, not early for that. I think it's early even to think, I can't even get myself to think that way. I think that, you know, we had a very strong draft. I think that while the season is still raw, you know, the feelings and the frustrations are still raw, you have got at some point, from a professional perspective, you've got to look for strengths. You know, and I'm not saying you take any great comfort. You don't walk around feeling anything so great about that. But you've got to identify what you think you got done. Obviously, to help reveal what it is you think you need to get done in the near term to continue to get stronger. And again, the furthest thing in the world I would do is walk around saying, you know, let's focus on our strengths. That's obviously not the case in any way, but it is part of the process, I would say, of heading into the off season, being sober about what you've just been through, but not getting so crazy that you get in the way of your principal objective, which is continuity, like what we were discussing.
Yeah. Randy, it's not as easy. I mean, people say this. I mean, I've never really run a business, a half-assed landscaping business when I was younger, but I mean, I've really never ran a corporation, I should say, where you have hundreds of employees. But they say, you know, here's what they say. They say, well, you know, it all starts at the top. Is that just a catchphrase, or I mean, you've hired, and I've challenged people on this many times, and people are going to say, "Oh, you're kissing Lerner's ass." No, I'm not. I've challenged people when all the hires you made, I applauded. When they don't work, is it really the owner's fault? How do you get what I'm saying there?
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, the answer is yes, absolutely my fault. I think that it's not my fault in some sort of, you know, creating some, you know, massive penance or something. I think it's my fault because I have got to be held responsible for those hires. And I don't think, it's, you know, it's my job to acknowledge that and deal with that. But it's also my job to keep moving forward. I don't think people would say, I think that I'm one of my responsibilities is to try and keep that into perspective. But yeah, ultimately it is my fault. You're going to get a lot of credit in this business for things that you have nothing to do with, and you're going to take blame for things that you have nothing to do with. That comes with any kind of position like this, and I think in any industry.
Yeah. Did you ever think of just packing it in, saying, "Hey, I don't need this anymore"? Has that thought ever gone through your mind? Not. I don't mean selling the team. I mean just saying, "Hey, you know what? Let somebody else do this." Does it? You ever get that frustrated?
Nah.
I mean, it seems to me. I mean, it would. I don't know if I could handle your position. Is what I'm trying to say there. You know what I mean? It's not as easy as it looks from the outside, you know?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think you could, Triff.
No, yeah, I mean, I think I would go through a lot of people. I don't know what I would do there. The frustration level is just astronomical. I mean, it really is. I mean, who wouldn't have hired? And it's not that Mike has failed yet. Mike has not. I think Heckert is a truly a bright spot. Like you said, I think our drafts have been very, very good. And if he hits on this one, I think he could turn this thing around very quickly, you know?
I couldn't say it better. That's my focus there.
When you go to a game like the last game of the year and you see the place half empty and rooting for the Steelers, I mean, doesn't that just like, that would like rip my insides out,
sickening.
Randy. You know
sickening.
What I'm saying?
Sickening.
And that needs to be turned around very quickly, and the only way we can do that is with wins.
Yep.
Yeah. Randy, I appreciate the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man.
I appreciate the honesty. Is there anything you'd like to say to the Browns fans that are listening right now?
Just what we've discussed, that we know that we have a job to do, and we know that people are frustrated, tired, irritated, and exhausted, and there's nobody in this building that doesn't live with that. And yet we have people in this building who believe in themselves and believe in the skills they have and believe, therefore, that we can move this thing forward. And that's kind of where we stand.
Yeah. And this administration is going nowhere, right?
Nope.
And they're going to get it done, right?
I believe so.
And if they don't,
if they don't, Trev, it's going to be harder to get me back on the show.
Randy, do you like the media?
I'll tell you what I do. I do. I do. I've enjoyed the media, particularly the Cleveland media. Absolutely.
Do you think they treat you fair sometimes?
Absolutely.
Is there any sarcasm in that answer?
No.
None whatsoever?
No, sir.
Randy, good luck. And
thank you.
And I know all the work you do with the Marines and stuff like that. And God bless you there also, because those guys really you know, we talk about sports, but that's really a different world, isn't it?
It is.
Over there in Afghanistan, isn't it?
It is.
Randy, thank you very much for
the
time.
Thanks, Trev. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you.